Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Dom Betts and Guy Barlow of Fulhamish. And gents, how often do you see Real Madrid or Barcelona get spanked 4-0?
Quite a lot.
Yeah, Barcelona got literally last week.
So very often.
How many times in a season?
Well, if we're talking about Real Madrid this season, probably fairly often. So
under Santiago Solari, of course. But the point I'm making is that it perhaps wasn't the perfect way for Fulham to end the season.
No, but if you watch my match review on actually on Fulhamish's Twitter, I said it was 3-0 because I just totally forgot about that fourth goal that went in.
Had you repressed it, Dom?
I just totally forgot that goal went in. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to much of the game.
Yeah, but it was just a non-event.
Yeah, especially when they were like 2-0 up after like 11 minutes or whatever it was. I was like, this game is over.
Yeah, and I don't know, the first goal was quite good from Shelvey. But yeah, apart from that, there was nothing of note, really. We had a lot of the ball. They scored 3 goals after that good Shelvey goal. The rest of them were rubbish.
A damp squib as an end to the season?
Well, yeah, I think it was always going to be there.
I just don't think anyone in the ground really cared.
No.
Like, no one was really that bothered. Like, it got to a point where it was like, Dom, has anyone actually been paying any attention to this game of football?
No, I agree. I didn't really. I mean, it clearly meant a lot to Newcastle, like Rondon scoring at the end. The whole team wanted to celebrate. And like they were singing about Rafa wanting to stay.
Is that because Rondon might be going?
Yeah, and Rafa as well. But yeah, no, I mean, Newcastle always bring a lot down. Seem to enjoy the away day.
Well, they had like 6 boats, didn't they, going down the river?
It was
sort of like a nothing occasion. Like they're solid, they're sound in mid table. I think they're pretty much had the same exact season they had last season. We know we're going down. Obviously, it was Scott Parker's first game as permanent manager, but you know,
the Solskjaer effect.
Yeah, the Solskjaer effect. No, it was just sort of a nothing event. And you know, yes, it was disappointing to lose 4-0, but I mean, to any of it, I think Fulham fans are probably beyond the realms of caring at this point.
We'll come on to Scott Parker and that Fulham managerial situation in just a moment. First, a quick goal update for you all from the Championship playoff action tonight. Derby have equalised on the night. It's Leeds 1, Derby 1, Leeds 2, Derby 1 on aggregate still, of course. Who do you see winning this tie? Who do you see getting promoted via the playoffs?
At the moment, I think Leeds are favourites. I know you look at the team going into the playoffs in form, which would be Aston Villa, and you expect them to be favourites. But I think Leeds just have too much for the likes of Derby and Aston Villa. I didn't see anything from Aston Villa last night which showed that they have the bottle to win the playoffs. I mean, I think, you know, from my perspective, it's sort of just Leeds maybe the lesser of three evils here. I don't know. I like Lampard to go up, Villa to go up, or Leeds to go up. I don't really know. I think Leeds, if they both perform to their full potential, we know Leeds are the best team out of the three, and they should go up. But you never know. But I do think, you know, I haven't seen anything that special from Aston Villa in either their two legs against West Brom. I know they're playing a West Brom side who are very pragmatic and very boring, as some people describe their defensive football. But yeah, for me, I think the favourites for me still are Leeds to go up.
Yeah, I think also from our perspective, I mean, you talk about being the less of three evils, which is exactly correct. But you need to think about who's going to challenge the most next year in the Championship as well. Mm. Especially from, yeah, like I said, from our point of view, I don't really fancy West Brom to challenge next year. I think that, I mean, if you look at the team they finish with, like, I mean, I know Chris Brown got sent off, but he's an old jobbing pro now. They finished 2 academy players up front. I don't fancy Jay Rodriguez to stick around. I don't fancy Dwight Gale to stick around. He's on loan anyway. But yeah, so I don't fancy them to challenge, so I'm fine with them staying down. But someone like Leeds would be able to stay if they didn't go up, maybe. Derby might challenge next year. But yeah, like I said, I'm just thinking about who is going to be the biggest threat to a potential promotion push from our end. I'm not sure. Like I said last week, I fancy Sheffield Wednesday's challenge as well under Steve Bruce.
100%. And I also think Villa kind of have to go up in the amount of money they spent in the last three seasons now in the Championship.
Yeah, but they said that at the beginning of this season as well. Like they were.
But I do feel like if they don't, no matter what happens, I do feel like Jack Grealish is going to be playing in the top flight next season. I don't think he'll stay another season at Aston Villa. because I think this was the season that he was like, I'm going to push on, we're going to get the team promoted, and I'm going to hope to play for them in the Premier League. So I think that, yeah, I think, you know, I don't, Villa will be challenging, but I don't think they'll be challenging for the top two next season. I think they'll be challenging for the playoffs alongside us, really. So, yeah, I think favourites probably Leeds, but, you know, it's the playoffs. You really don't know. As we said, it'll be, with the final, it'll be who's got more fans in each other's end, because Villa and Leeds are two sets of fans who like to brag how many fans they bring. I mean, Leeds brought more fans to Blackburn than Arsenal and Chelsea fans have been allocated for Baku. So,
yes.
You know, for me, I'm going to go with Leeds.
Yeah, so am I.
So you're saying Leeds in the final against Villa, and you think Villa don't have enough?
No, I don't think Villa have got it. I don't think they've got enough talent in their side. I think Leeds tactically will just outsmart Dean Smith's side.
And if Villa don't go up, are Villa in trouble? Because we've heard reports about the financial situation. We've also heard suggestions that Jack Grealish could leave the club.
Well, I can't see Tammy Abraham going again next season. I think Swansea, the problem with him was that they were too reliant on his goals. Obviously, he needs to get the 15 or whatever many goals you expect him to get. But I think if there are goals coming from the rest of him, so if he goes to, I'm not saying these teams like teams like West Ham, Watford, Bournemouth, those teams who probably will stay in the league, or even a Crystal Palace, a team who will stay in the league but won't be properly fighting and scrapping for relegation. I think if there's other goals in the side, Tammy Abraham could flourish in there. And you look at Jack Grealish going, you know, you look at Tammy Abraham going, and you look at some of the Villa players, they are relatively old. And I think that, yeah, I think this is the sort of last chance saloon for Villa, really.
I think Tammy Abraham is a bit of a weird one, actually, because I watched the game last night. It's the first game I've watched of his this season. I know obviously he's been scoring goals, some of them penalties. But I don't know. I do think it's an interesting one, because, like you said, he didn't really do it at Swansea. And he has done it in the Championship for two seasons. It's like, and he is still really young as well. Like, was he 2021?
Yeah, I think he's 21 years old.
To be honest, what harm would another season in the Championship do? You know, like,
I'm not saying it's going to do him any harm, but I think, let's say Villa did get promoted, I think they'd be looking to get him on a permanent deal, and I think the rumoured fee I've seen is about £25 million, which for a young English striker who's been banging goals in the Championship is probably not a bad fee. And then, yeah, I don't know. I do feel like he's got the ability to do it in the Prem. I just think he needs to be in the right team. I don't think he can be in a team that's struggling, that is totally reliant on his goals, which Swansea were last season.
But also, this Villa team is like entirely built around one Grealish and two him. Like, he's got everything going for him. He's not going to get that at many clubs.
Well, Villa are built around all the opposition defenders pressing Jack Grealish to open up the space
for long shots.
For him, and but all for the rest of the team. They crowd around Grealish, which then opens the space for the likes of Anwar El Ghazi, the likes of McGinn, the likes of Tammy Abraham, whoever they're playing in attacking positions. So I think it is going to be an interesting one in this playoff, because, you know, I think a lot of these teams kind of, it's quite important to go at Leeds. You know, Bielsa could go if they don't get promoted next season, or this season, sorry. You know, Villa, I think it's a large chance for them. You know, West Brom just come down. I think if they didn't go up, as you said, they're going to might be in mid-tail mediocrity in the Championship. And then you look at someone like Derby, who continually just lose in the playoffs.
Continually losing in the playoffs. It's like purgatory.
I think there was a stat pretty much that sometime in the last four playoff campaigns, the team that Derby had been knocked out by has ended up getting promoted.
So it could be very, very good news for Leeds tonight if that is the case. Just a final point on Jack Grealish. He suggested that the time is now ripe for him to play Premier League football. Do we think we'll be seeing him in England's top flight regardless of whether Villa go up?
Yeah, probably, but he's overrated.
Yeah, so. I don't think he's what everyone makes him up to be. You know, he's not exactly an 18-19-year-old anymore. He is getting into his prime, I guess you can argue, you know, early to mid-20s. So I think he will be in the Premier League next season, probably not with Aston Villa, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he would fare playing in the Premier League, because he wasn't actually lighting up when he was a youngster last time.
Yeah, I mean, me and Dom was talking about this as well. Like, he's averaged 5 goals a season in 3 years in the Championship. Like, Ryan Sessegnon scored more than him in one season last year than Grealish has in his entire time in the Championship. And, like, I know comparing to other Fulham players, but like in our first playoff season, Kenny got as many goals as Grealish got his whole career.
Kenny and Johansson both got 10+ goals in our first playoff season. So, you know, and you're saying, oh, but maybe Session's more of a forward. Well, Johansson and Kenny were playing centre midfield that day.
He's never even made double figures of an assist in a season either in the Championship. Like, he's not. I know goals and assists aren't everything, obviously, and it's what he brings to the team as a whole, but I mean, if you want to be brutal and look at line numbers, he hasn't done it in the Championship.
Jack Grealish, is he a hype job? Get in touch, 02 08 70 20 558. And stay with us here on the Fulham Fan Show, because coming up, we'll be talking to Fulham's all-time leading goalscorer, Gordon Davies, to get his take on a disappointing season in the Premier League.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Dom Betts and Guy Barlow of Fulhamish. I'm delighted to say that we're also joined on the line by Fulham's record goalscorer, Gordon Davies. Good evening, Gordon. Thanks ever so much for joining us. 4-0 defeat to Newcastle. Not the perfect way to end the season, and not the perfect way to begin Scott Parker's tenure as permanent manager.
I suppose that sums the season up. We've been, I did one interview last week and they said, define the season. And I said, perfectly honest with you, it's been abysmal. I don't think anybody who supports the club or who is involved with the club could see anything like this happening after that fantastic day in May and the way that we played last year. I think everybody was looking forward to a mid-table finish and looking forward to bettering in the second season in the Premier League. But it was bad from day one, and after, I suppose, six or seven games, I was thinking that Slavisa must change the way that we play because it's not suiting the players in this or at this level. But he kept going on. He was so stubborn in his philosophy that worked the previous year, and it cost him his job. And it went from bad to worse after that.
Obviously, everyone talks about how many managers we had this season. Obviously, starting off with Slav, moving into Ranieri, less spoke about him the better, and then into Scott Parker now. Do you think Slavisa, or not enough blame is put on him, or how stubborn he was at the beginning of the season, and that's part of the reason and the mess we were in? Or do you think it is just, as we've mentioned many times, just a collective effort of nothing from everybody?
Well, I don't think it helped anybody with the amount of injuries that we had at the beginning of the season. And I think in probably the first six or seven games, we never had a settled back four. But with the way that... I know it's easy in hindsight, and when he did get the sack, I said, because I do, as you probably know, I do a column in the programme this year, and I was saying that it's a situation that I think that he should have started the season with the players or the fit players out of the squad that got us promotion, and just lined all the new signings up that we had in the final few days of the transfer window on the other side of the changing room, and just said to the people that got us promoted, right, you've got six, seven games to show me you can do it at this level, because if you can't, just look on the other side of the changing room. I've got these players to come in to take your place. But because he was changing players about, putting new players in when they barely had time to settle into the club, I don't think that really helped us from day one. But as I say, in hindsight, I think he should have given the players a chance that got us promotion. And then if it didn't work after six, seven games, then the players are still on his side. They've been given a chance. But when you bombed out in the first two or three games of the season after you've worked your butt off to get us promotion last year, then five games later he says, I want you to come in and help me now. I think it's only natural that players are going to turn around and say, well, I'm not playing for you. And I think it literally snowballed over those first 14, 15, 16 games when he was in charge. And because nothing was changing on the field of play, we weren't getting results, I think the players' heads were going down on a week-by-week basis. And even when Ranieri came in, I thought it was a good appointment at the time, because being Italian, I thought, if he can't get us to defend, then nobody can. But unfortunately, the style of play that he wanted to play, once again, I don't think suited the players that we had. So, again, 15, 16 games later, we're still in exactly the same position with a new manager that we were having got rid of Slavisa. So it's, I think you're never guaranteed, whoever you put in the manager's job, you're never guaranteed that it's going to be a success. Even the bigger clubs, much, much bigger clubs than us, get it wrong. So yeah, the owner has held his hands up and said, I got it wrong. He's put Scott in charge now with Stuart Gray. And we can only look to the future, but only time will tell whether that is going to be the right decision or not.
Gordon, do you think that giving Scott Parker the job on a permanent basis was the right decision?
The way that the players started playing, I think he's found he hasn't changed that much, but with Stuart Gray coming in, you can tell that the team are defending better. I wouldn't say it's the final piece of the jigsaw, because as you've already been discussing, 4-0 at the end of the game, or at the end of the season at home to Newcastle, I was expecting us to go out with a bang and a win the way that we'd been playing. So there are very fundamental problems that both Scott and Stuart have got to work on defensively, but we look better, I think, since they've taken over than we have all season. And to be perfectly honest with you, I was asking or hoping that the club would make a decision the week after the Newcastle game at the latest. And they decided to go with the day before the game, Scott's got, or 2 days before the Newcastle game. Scott is now the manager. The players seem to like working for him. The players are obviously working a lot harder now than they did earlier in the season. But the big question is now, in my opinion, we're probably going to lose, of the present squad, maybe 8 or 10 players. That's all the loanees, plus some of the players that Scott doesn't want. So it's going to be interesting to see what players he gets in, how many have got championship experience, how many are experienced players, how many are young players, because we certainly, in my opinion, need more youth in the squad, more legs in the squad, more pace in the squad. But we also need players who know this division and are able to hopefully get us out at the first attempt.
Gordon, talking of the Championship, a massive goal has just gone in the Championship playoffs. It's Leeds 1, Derby 2 at Elland Road. Now 2-2 on aggregate. Young Mason Mount, on loan from Chelsea, is the guy who's got it right off the kickoff from the second half. Some nice work from Harry Wilson puts him in. And Mount actually slips as he goes to take this shot and ends up sweeping the ball, lifting it over the goalkeeper into the top right-hand corner, almost like a hockey player. And Frank Lampard's Derby now very much back in this game.
Well, I certainly was watching the first half an hour before I came on this evening. And to be perfectly honest with you, I couldn't see any result apart from Leeds winning the game. So that certainly put the cat amongst the pigeons. And having scored one or two goals myself, you know, it doesn't matter what it comes off, as long as it goes over that white line and between the posts.
One or
it's
two.
Counting.
One or two, Gordon, yeah.
who do you see as maybe a challenge to Fulham next season, if we're thinking about the Championship now? We were saying maybe Sheffield Wednesday with Steve Bruce, because he knows how to get out of the division. And any one of these playoff teams who don't go up could also be a threat. Who do you think we need to worry about if we were to bounce back?
Well, the way tonight's game's going, certainly Leeds if they didn't get up, because I think that they're probably favourites or were to win the playoffs. So that's going to be, as I say, interesting, because when you've got a support like they have, You can't help but give 110%, even if you're having a nightmare of a game. The supporters will drag you through. I suppose if you look at the Championship, you probably think that the two that went up away in front of the rest of the teams in the playoffs, I don't fancy Villa for next year if they don't get through. I don't fancy West Brom and whoever does go through to the final, whether it's Leeds or Derby. I can see Derby being there if they don't go through. And then probably you look at any of the next 10 teams and none of them frighten me for pushing for that top six. But to be perfectly honest with you, anybody from Middlesbrough, Bristol City, Forest, Swansea, Brentford, Sheffield Wednesday, Preston North End, they all can put runs together, but there's nothing there, to be perfectly honest with you, that I would be frightened of as a Fulham supporter, I would be looking next year to be in the top two, but definitely in the top six all season. Okay, I'm not counting Cardiff and Huddersfield because I think Cardiff will have a strong season, and I like Huddersfield as a team that plays football. They've just got to, as we have, regroup. They've got to defend better next year, and they've got to find one or two people to put the ball in the back of the net on a regular basis. But looking through the Championship league, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't fright or nobody frightens me for next year.
If we're looking, obviously, you know, at the squad now and what we need to do ahead of next season, what do you think is the main thing that Scott needs to sort out? Because obviously there's something not right at the club at the moment, going from all levels. What do you think is the thing he needs to sort of choose to sort? Do you think it is just sorting out what team he's going to be playing consistently next season? Because obviously we've got so much sort of squad overall that's going to need to happen going into a Championship season.
Well, yeah, I think you've got to start from the back. Obviously, with the goalkeepers that we have, Rico has been in goals most of the season. He will be going back, as far as I'm concerned, to Valencia. I think I've heard a rumour that Fabbri is going to be sold. So we're going to get Bettinelli probably back in as number one, and about time, barring injury. And then I think he's got to settle on what his main back four is, and they've got to be worked and worked and worked defensively, because if this year we needed to score two or three goals to win a game, and you can't do that week in, week out, next year I think a good campaign is going to be based on defending properly, and you've got to find a middle four or a middle three, depending on how he wants to play. But even if we go 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2, he's got to find a consistent back four that defend as a unit and defend as individuals, because we've been all over the place this year. And in midfield, he's then got to find out, I think, where he wants to play Kearney. And if he wants to play him further forward, because he can create, we've then got to look at the wide people. And I think the wide areas are important, because I think we definitely need pace in the side, and we need players who can take people on. It's a bit like Babel. I think Babel has been the best player at Forest in the second half of the season, because at 32 and he's got pace, he can still beat a player. And once you've got somebody, we're not going to beat or walk through teams by playing football and passing nicely for 30, 40 games. So you need someone a bit like Harvey Elliott when he came on, and we had two shots at goal, I think, and one came from Harvey Elliott. So he's obviously got an eye for goal in that final third, or an eye for a chance. So we want some youngsters to come in, give them a chance. But I think it's certainly the back four needs some consistency. We need wide players with a bit of pace. And I think we need somebody closer to Mitrovic who's going to help him next year and score 12, 14, 15 goals a season to help him get us the points in games, because we can't rely on Mitrovic just to be the one-man striker who's going to score us 25, 30 goals next year.
Gordon, it's been lovely to speak to you. Thanks so much. I just need a quick one-word answer from you, because we've got to go to the news. But I find it interesting there that you phrased it that Mitrovic will be at Fulham next season, that someone needs to come in to play alongside him as if he'll definitely be there. Will the big Serbian still be at Craven Cottage in the Championship?
In one word, yes.
Oh, he's a confident man. Gordon, thank you very much. Gordon Davies there, Fulham's record goal scorer. Mitro will do damage at the lower level.
This is Love Sport.
London calling, Championship calling for Fulham. But if the football is like this, the lads from Fulhamish, Dom Betts and Guy Barlow, will not mind. You're here with me, Johnny Burrow, for your Fulham fan show on Love Sport Radio. And limbs, I believe, is how the kids are putting it, gentlemen. Limbs in the studio during the news, because it is Leeds 1, Derby 3 at Elland Road. Harry Wilson scoring from the spot. Dom Betts, what is going on?
Skybet is what's happening here. Skybet is what's... Like, I just don't understand. Like, it's just end-to-end. Like, I don't think Derby scored their first at the 45th minute. It's only an hour into the game or whatever it is, and it's now 3-1 Derby. I don't understand this league. I just really don't. It's great.
I would like to clarify. You say limbs. We weren't cheering any of these Derby goals.
I'm not cheering any goals in this game.
No.
Because it's just, I love the championship. It's just,
yeah. Like,
can't wait to be back.
Oh, I mean, it was definite penalty. Cooper's had a, Leeds captain's had a shocker. I mean, I haven't watched much of the championship this year, like I said, but I mean, it's quite, what a league. Yeah. what a division. What a concept the playoffs are.
If Leeds don't end up getting promoted, right, they spent, I think, 185 days in the top two this season.
Really, I mean, it's not that shocking actually. Like did they Bielsa burn out, as they say?
Well, I said Bielsa come March would burn out, and it basically did happen.
Well, there was also a correlation between Marcelo Bielsa no longer being able to hide a scout in the bushes of opponents and his team playing rather less well, which I imagine does make football a bit harder.
But then haven't Leeds beat Derby three times this season now? I think they beat them home and away in the league.
And then away in the playoffs, yeah. But anyone that matters,
exactly.
Derby are pulling it back.
Yeah, they are. I mean, yeah, the playoffs, it is so horrible. Like, I don't know, I'm getting, not like flashbacks, but like, losing the playoffs is the worst.
Because I wanted, surely not.
Sky Bet is what Dom Betts was about to say, because it is Leeds 2, Derby 3. Our wonderful producer was just saying a moment ago, why is it that every Wednesday we have a hell of a game on our hands? We have a comeback and Dallas has got the goal for Leeds. It is, of course, 3-3 on aggregate, and it's now crucial to remember that away goals do not apply in this particular competition. We are tied on score, and score alone counts. As things stand, it's going to go to extra time. It's going to go to penalties. A lovely jinking run inside from Dallas. He just skips in between two defenders and fires a shot low and hard across the Derby goalkeeper to get Leeds back in the game. From here, impossible to call, but I'm going to ask you to. Who's going through?
I really don't know, because it looks like every team and teams going forward, they're going to score.
There's still 28 minutes of normal time left.
This is not needed. Like, I just don't
to requirements, says Dom Betts.
I just don't understand this league sometimes, really.
Well, you're going to have to get your head around it, Dom, because Fulham are playing in it next season. You'll be going to at least one of these grounds,
maybe both,
for away days, maybe both next year. And I've got to pick up on what we heard just before the news, because it was a real pleasure for us to interview Fulham's all-time record goal scorer Gordon Davies. And he was fully confident that Alexander Mitrovic is sticking around at the club next season. He's been central, not just in terms of his goal scoring, but his attitude, his passion. And it's looking like it'll be a very, very different year for Fulham should he stick around. Dom, are you as confident that the big Serbian will still be at Craven Cottage next year?
We've seen links with a lot of our players, but there's nothing been anything really solid about Mitrovic at all. Everything he was... I know you can't just go off of player signals and what they said, but everything he said, it's like he wants to stay, but it's down if the club get a £40-50 million bid in for him, then they'll obviously sell him. So I think if it was down to Mitrovic, he'd want to stay. I think Mitrovic is a player who doesn't. I don't think he necessarily want his main thing is being playing at the top level. I think obviously all players want to do that, but I think he needs to be happy within the environment he's playing, and I think he has that at Fulham. And I think for him, he wants to be at the club next season.
Guy, do you see him staying?
No, I'm actually really surprised that Gordon said it and that Dom's like agreeing with him. I mean, I just assumed that. I know he's not bagged him in the Premier League. He's got 11 goals, but that is a job in a terrible team that I'm sure he could do a better job elsewhere. And I don't know, I guess he would be quite a lot of money, because he is only 24 still. He's tied down to a long contract. So it would be an investment for whoever came in for him. But in a way, I don't know. It's quite similar to Ryan Sessegnon. It's like...
It's very different.
No, but in a way, there wouldn't be any hard feeling from Fulham fans. That's what I mean. It's like it would just be like all the best. But also, if Mitrovic came back down with us very quickly and he didn't bag like 15, like 25 goals like he did in his first bit in the championship, would that kind of tarnish it for him? Because we could have a bad year next year.
I feel like we're in a place where we kind of need to sell Sessegnon, but there's no reason why we need to sell Mitrovic.
Yeah, I agree. But then we're probably not going to get as much of Sessegnon as we might have done last summer, for example.
No, I think we would have got twice as much last summer. But because then you're buying potential because you haven't actually seen him play in the top flight. But I think with other players we could possibly sell, I'd much rather rake in the money for Anguissa and Seri than, and if that means we can keep Mitrovic, then great.
Are there any strong links with Anguissa moving away? Because I've seen lots of Seri.
Yeah, Seri will be going, and it looks like he's off to Monaco.
And like Cess is as good as done, apparently.
Yeah, Cess to Spurs, it looks like a done deal. So you're looking at that, that's probably £40-odd million between the two of them. So I think I think he will stay. I've had this weird feeling. He's been saying how much he loves club. I know tapping the badge means basically nothing, but he's been given off the right signals and the right signs. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was playing for us come the start of next season. Because remember the Championship from next season, they're not, you know, it's like the Premier League. You can't buy anyone once season starts. So yeah, we haven't got much time.
Let's broaden the context with this conversation about Mitrovic, because I had the guys from West Ham World in the studio with me just before you guys for the West Ham Fan Show. We were talking about a potential replacement or indeed a potential partner for Marko Arnautovic. The name Mitrovic came up repeatedly. They were talking about 35, 40 million quid. If, say, a £45 million bid came into the club from West Ham, could you see Mitrovic agitating for the move? Could you see the club accepting the bid?
Well, I think the club will accept a bid. I think it's a different case where Mitrovic would want to go. I know you can say it's in the same city, but you know he likes the way the club's run. He likes being at the club. He's got good friends at the club. I think everyone was. I think since Scott Parker's come back in, you know, if it was Ranieri at the end of the season, then I think he'd be off. But I think Parker sort of reined it back in, and he'll stay. I think the only way we'll sell Mitrovic is if a bid comes in that we can't reject. I think that's the only way he's going to go.
And also, maybe with West Ham in particular, I think they might go for other players first, you know. I don't know. That's just the feeling I get. Was Zapata from Atalanta mentioned as well? I mean,
yeah, Duvan Zapata, who's had a great season at Atalanta.
And also, I think they might. He might be moving on. He's a bit old actually. He's like 28. So he might be moving on from Atalanta. But anyway, I think Mitrovic would do well to. I don't know. Yeah, it's what I'm saying is, it'd be interesting who comes in for him. Because if you look at like players who scored more than him this season, it's actually quite funny. Like Ashley Barnes got more goals than Mitrovic this year in the Premier League. I know Burnley had a great 2019, but still, like, that's not a player you'd pick. You'd rather have Mitrovic than Ashley Barnes, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think Mitrovic had a really good first half of the season. I think he sort of tailed off towards the end. I'd say you can say the first two thirds of the season was probably like a 7.58 out of 10, and the last bit has been maybe a 6, averaging probably, as you can see, a 7. So I just have this feeling he's going to stay, and it would really be helpful because then we don't need to look for that striker. You know, that's what a massive problem for us was. Yes, we had Ross McCormick, but he's not really a Mitrovic type striker. And I think, you know, we are in a good space. I think we're not in a space like when we went down where we needed to rebuild. Yes, we've still got the core of the team who got us promoted on our books. You know, you've got Bettinelli, you've got Adoy, you've got Ream. You know, you've got Cyrus Christie. I know he was in the squad. You got Kearney, you got Johansson. He's not going to play, don't worry.
Get Cyrus Christie away from
so
this
club. You got Kearney, you got Johansson, you got McDonald, you got Aite, you got Cabana, you got Mitrovic. You know, we've still got the core of the team. We've got us promoted there. So it's not like when we went down in 13-14, there was a total real building job and squad overhaul that was needed.
Yeah, and that is one of the positives. I mean, Gordon Davis spoke about it being a bleak season, but the way that it's kind of ended, we ended those three clean sheets and then that kind of nothing game against Newcastle, and the Wolves game, obviously, but that was just another, like, we were relegated, it didn't matter. But it, in a way, because of those three wins and because of the new contract for Kearney and because of the permanent deal for Parker, there is a lot more to be hopeful about this relegation round, even though on the pitch it's been a lot worse, which is kind of a weird kind of paradox, isn't it? Because last time
I think we won, like, what, three or four away games away from home in 30-40, which is pretty good for a team who was like fighting relegation.
And we were only relegated on the penultimate day as well. Yeah, as opposed to like the first weekend of
April. And that 2-2 draw against Hull, we kept that 2-0 lead and won that game. I guarantee we would have stayed up.
Yeah, I know. That's so true as well. And we only went down because Sunderland won away at Man U. Of course, Sunderland went on this mad run, as they always used to stay in the Premier League. Like, on the pitch that season wasn't that bad, but then off it was just a shambles, wasn't it? Whereas this season we've gone through the same kind of turmoil of managers, but we've somehow maintained continuity, And I guess we spoke about the Khans learning from the relegation before, and hopefully they've done that. Hopefully we can, you know, I'm not expecting us to bounce back fully and get automatic promotion straight away, but I think we are in the best position to do that.
Who should stay and who should go for Fulham? You can get in touch on 0208 70 20 558. And whoever is still at the club next year is going to be managed by Scott Parker. He's got the job on a permanent basis. But coming up, we'll be asking, should the club have waited just 1 week to make their decision? Because they could have nabbed Chris Hughton. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Guy Barlow and Dom Betts of Fulhamish. And of course, Fulham have a new permanent manager. Scott Parker has got the job on a full-time basis. Fulham fans broadly optimistic. He's an exciting young English coach who's been given an opportunity. He did broadly a good job for Fulham. But that end of the season, that 4-0 defeat has tarnished a bit. And this in a week where Brighton have cut their ties with Chris Hughton. And a few Fulham fans are now perhaps feeling that if the club had just held their horses, because they weren't under any real pressure to give Scott Parker the job, they could have just assessed their options, seen how the market was going to develop, and perhaps, and it is only a question of perhaps, but perhaps opt for Hughton instead. For you two, are you now sitting here feeling as if your club have missed a trick?
In some ways, I think the Parker appointment is underwhelming, but it is the right decision, I'd say, based on what was out there at the time. And also, you know, I think that's kind of presumptuous to think that Hughton would even come to us. You know, like, he's linked with the Celtic job straight away.
Bigger club than Celtic, Fulham. Sorry.
Yeah, you would say that, Dom. But, you know, like...
Glasgow's blue, I say.
But I think he can do... I don't know. I don't want to talk down Fulham as...
I know he can do better, but I do feel like... You know, it depends what Fulham fans want or what the club wants. If they wanted to get out of the division next season, then Hughton would be a perfect appointment. But, you know, is he the sort of manager the players want to play for?
You've got to look at
it as well. You know, he's not
turgid exactly, football.
He's not exactly one who plays the fluid football that Mitrovic and Kenny have been used to with Fulham in the Championship. So I think, you know, yes, it's something to make you think about, but I do think Fulham has still made the right decision on a short-term basis anyway.
And also, on that, I think that... I know you always say, Dom, all our trouble started by not sacking Yol when we beat Swansea away.
That's correct.
And Brighton have done the opposite to that. And then they have sacked Hughton. I feel like they're in very similar positions to what we were then.
They are, yeah, yeah.
And
the only difference, I'd argue, is that their result on the last day of the season doesn't over-complement their season.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, if you look at... Everyone's bringing up the money they've spent, almost as much as Fulham.
You're looking at Hughton. If you just ignore just the first five games of the season, Brighton go down. Cardiff got more points over the last 33 games of the Premier League season than Brighton.
That's
so
insane. Yeah.
They've won what, 3 out of 24? Even we put 4 past them, or 6 past them, or even including both our games
after being 2-0 down.
Yeah.
As well. The only time we come back from 2 goals in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and then obviously sort of the reverse kind of happened in the away leg. But I understand what they're doing, and everyone's saying it's harsh sacking. I don't think it's a harsh sacking. I think it's more of thanks for all you've done, but we're now moving on to the next step in our club's sort of progression in the Premier League.
Well, the question also partly comes down to what extent was he responsible for those signings at Brighton? Because you can look at that Brighton squad and say, listen, Chris Hughton is operating with players who are actually subpar. What do you expect from him? But you can spin that the other way and say, okay, Brighton did have a director of transfers, but equally, if Hughton is signing off on these guys, or perhaps identifying some of the signings himself, then we can have little sympathy. They broke their transfer record on Handbash.
I'm not sure Chris Hughton is an avid watcher of Eredivisie, if you're asking me. So I don't think Johan Bash and Jurgen Lokadja are two of Chris Hughton's signings.
Yeah, and either way, like, he's part of his job is to integrate them, and he clearly hasn't done that.
That's a good point, Guy. But do you find it odd? Because we all grew up in the era of managers rather than head coaches, you know, where a person was ahead of a football club. They took charge of not just the training, not just the affairs on the pitch, but they did actually have a significant hand in the transfer dealings as well. Do you find it a bit odd now to imagine the role of a manager as sitting there, really, and expecting the players to fall into your lap? Because there will be managers in the closed season now, and who knows, if Mitrovic goes, then maybe Scott Parker will be one of them, thinking, for example, I need a centre-forward. I hope Father Christmas brings me one, and I hope he's not rubbish.
I think it goes in stages when it comes to managers. There's different phases that happen. If you look at back in 2000s for us, when we had two managers in, you know, Reid, Orwin, and Evans. And I think, you know, there was that stage where player managers was a thing. I think it's just the next stage or phase in managerial development. I think that's all it is, with, you know, you having head coaches and having, you know, having more staff like technical directors, sporting directors, director of football, whatever you want to call them, make the recruitment decisions or footballing decisions, like when it comes to being off the pitch. So I think it is just a phase. And as you see, Scott Parker's been called head coach, but he knows what sort of system he's under. You know, it's obviously, you know, if you look at some of our championship recruitment, it was actually quite good.
Yeah, and also, Scott Parker's, because this is his first job, he's not going to know any other way. So this head coach model is all he's ever known. And therefore, it might be easier for him to buy into it rather than someone like Ranieri, who's been around the block for 20, 30 years. And he actually was given the title of manager. But going back to your original point, I think that that role, that Sir Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger kind of dictatorship, where they have control over everything, it's just not realistic anymore. I mean, isn't it that Pep Guardiola's got like 23 staff, 26 staff or something like that?
The thing is with Guardiola, I know it's a weird comparison to make, but obviously he's worked with the same people at Barcelona and Bayern that he's brought into Manchester City. And I think it is just I think it's not about, oh, having someone above you doing recruitment. I think it's about having a system that works and how you know what your role is and you know what everyone else's role is. I think that's what the most important thing is when it comes to, you know, director of football, sporting directors, technical directors, assistant managers, head coaches. I think it's just everyone knowing what their role is and being good at their individual role.
Brody's just been sent off, Johnny.
It is
vintage Sky Bet continues.
Yeah, no, but this is really harsh. Like, I think he was fouled not like a couple of times. In this, he's fouled a couple of times, and then he absolutely hacks someone down.
There are three fouls there, and Dallas does a very good job to stay on his feet. He's not been sent off for his first foul. So what happens is Dallas is running with the ball. Berardi's running with the ball. There's a nibble on his back leg. He stays up. There's a second nibble. He stays up. He then clatters someone with a horrible challenge, but it's a yellow card challenge, and then he dives in for a second one, and then gets a second yellow. There is no option for the ref but to book him there. It's
stupid,
a second, and he has
stupid.
To go. And
this
it led
is why
to
they're playing
brawl.
At this level. This is why they're playing at this level at the end of the day.
Like, do you think so?
Yeah, I think this is part of it, why they're playing in the Championship. Because Premier League players don't do this kind of stupid thing as often. You know,
unless your name's Marcus Rojo, like, you're not doing this every other week.
Sorry, this is coming from a fan of a club who had Kamara on their books, AK-47, this season. We've seen Premier League
footballers. He's back on the books next season.
Okay, but the point I'm making is that we see Premier League footballers
King's coming home.
Do quite stupid things. Ava Banega is an elite-level footballer. Yeah, he broke his own foot by running it over with his own Ferrari.
Not as often. Like, there weren't any sending-offs in the Champions League semi-final last week, you know? Like players don't lose their head as often in the Premier League as they do at this kind of level, and that's part of the reason why they're not playing at the top level. Like, it's just stupid. We saw it with Chris Brunt last night as well. Like
Chris Brunt is like, there is just no need to make that challenge.
But he could have been sent off a couple of times. But,
he was making challenges
was he doing?
He had it in for John McGinn last night. Like, every 5 seconds, he was absolutely clattering him.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It's so frustrating as a fan as well. And that is one of the bad things about the Championship, is that the refereeing standards does slip. I know tonight we've got Premier League referee Taylor.
He's not doing a great job.
It's because they think they're, you know, Billy.
Above.
Yeah, they think they're above it, and they come down and they ref it in a different way. Like, the laws change when they referee a big Championship game. It's nonsense. They let things, I don't know, they think it's like a rougher league or whatever. But I don't know. That was a little rant. It's just so frustrating seeing these players do these such stupid things.
You know, a lot of the players in Championship have got quality to play in the Premier League.
Of course they do.
But half of them just don't have the temperament.
Yeah, and the cliche about the players in the Championship is they're missing something. Like Aluko was missing a finish. That's why he's in the Championship. Berardi might be missing his head. That's why he's playing in the Championship. You know, it's like they're all so close to being at the top level. Especially this. This is the playoff semi-final. These are, like,
are we now going to see Leeds lose?
Well, he's not helped his team, has he? Like, he's cost them... Like he could cost them literally hundreds of million pounds.
West Brom held on last night.
Yeah, but I think that's very,
penalties.
Very different because the way West Brom play is suited for putting 12 men behind the ball.
They had like six defenders on anyway.
Yeah. They play a very pragmatic style, whereas Leeds are very expansive and don't exactly know how to defend. So I don't know if this will actually, you know, suit them or not. If Derby can get on the ball and attack Leeds, I think, you know, Leeds don't really have that in them to just sit back and soak up the pressure.
In a funny way then, Dom, is the best bet for the 10 men of Leeds United now to try and nick one? We've got 9 minutes to play. There'll be some hefty stoppage time as well. Should they go and try and get a winner?
I think they should be going out to try and get. I know that's going to open you up to a counter-attack from Derby, but I think, you know, they're not as a team who can sit back like West Brom for half an hour. I think the extra time stats from last night were absolutely ludicrous. It was like they had 90% possession, West Brom had absolutely 10%, no shots on target, no shots off target. So I think, you know, I think Leeds do kind of have to go for it because I just don't think they know any other way.
It is baffling. We'll be bringing you updates from this game as we get them. It is a very, very lively one in the Championship playoffs. And talking of things that are baffling, what is going on with the season tickets at Fulham? Does anybody know?
This is Love Sport.
It's the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Guy Barlow and Dom Betts of Fulhamish. And it's that time of the year when football fans start to renew their season tickets, or if they're Chelsea or Arsenal fans, they start wondering whether they should choose to do that or buy a solitary ticket to Baku for the Europa League final, as Guy gesticulates at the screen, alleging a dive on the part of a Derby player. It is still kicking off in the Championship playoffs. It's Leeds 2, Derby 3 on the night, 85 minutes played. Leeds, of course, down to 10 men. Harry Wilson hits the post for Derby. Oh, he had a chance to put it to bed. It's 3-3 on aggregate. Updates from a high-octane game as we get them. But it is, as I was saying before, it all kicked off yet again, that time of year when you consider renewing your season ticket. What's the situation at Fulham?
Well, I considered it a long time ago. They just haven't announced anything. Like, they released something today, said there'll be something by the end of the week.
Goal.
And goal.
And goal.
And vintage continues.
Vintage Skybet, because it is Derby 4, Leeds 2. Mad celebrations
Scott
on
Carson.
The Derby bet. Scott Carson is in amongst it. Fakayo Demori, Mason Mount, they're all hugging. The goalkeeper punching the air. Frank Lampard looking passionate as well. It's 4-3 on aggregate to Derby. Leeds now have to get a goal in the next 5 minutes. They're down to 10 men. It's not going to happen. I think the pressure eventually had to tell for Derby. Just a minute beforehand, Harry Wilson hit the post. And again, hot knife through butter, playing delicate little passes through that Leeds defence. And Marriott, who has been electric, and it has to be said, on the wind-up all evening, was on hand to dink a lovely finish beyond Kiko Kessié and possibly fire Derby to Wembley.
Yeah, I think it'd be quite funny if they lost at Wembley again.
It's a great little dink finish. It's like that one that Fernando Torres scored in the Euro 2008 final. He used to love doing it, where the keeper comes to pick the ball up, doesn't quite get there. And with a little stab under the ball, you lift it just a couple of feet over the keeper. Glorious stuff.
Yeah, top finish. I mean, Jack Marriott is one of those players who has bagged in goals in League One and has now stepped up. You know, like it's like that. What they say about if you can finish, you can finish at any level, yeah. And that was a top
finish. People like Kamara have shown that many times in his career.
As a top finish. I mean, Kelly Roos is obviously starting in goal for Derby tonight. But yes, seeing Scott Carson run over was really funny.
He's a leader of men, Scott. A leader of
but
men.
Like I was saying, so this team has got Scott Malone at left back, yeah? Fulham legends.
That one season, the best swap deal of all time.
But he shouldn't be anywhere near the Premier League.
Fulham have brought, Leeds have brought Jack Clark on in an attempt to change the game. They've got 5 minutes to do just that, and they need a goal just to take it to extra time. Even then, they would have to survive a Derby barrage for half an hour with just 10 men after the dismissal of Berardi. It's so exciting that they're not giving us an opportunity to talk about the situation with Fulham's season tickets. Dom, you were saying you've made your mind up, but the club haven't told you how or when you can buy.
Yeah, they put someone out today saying, oh, sorry for the delay, we'll say something by the end of the week. I'm like, mate, the season ended like 4 days ago. Like, how, surely, I'm not, my problem isn't that they haven't, we can't buy them yet. There's just been nothing said. Like, at least say, this is the problem, this is why you
they,
can't do
they
it.
They tweeted
yet.
Today, mate. There was a tweet being like, wait, it's the end of the week.
Just like, yeah, but like in weeks pre, like usually.
Are these complex decisions to make?
Well, they are because of the whole Riverside redevelopment, whether that's happening, whether that's not. Like, they have to knock the stand down and rebuild it. But if they were definitely going to do this redevelopment and they were going to rebuild it, they would have knocked that stand down on the Monday after the game. So I don't see what the problem is here.
That was quite funny, but it would be horribly depressing. It was like one of the replies was like, "Announce Loftus Road."
I've said it that, like, you know, we need. I'm not going to buy a season ticket. We go Loftus Road. I'll just go to the away games because I'm not going to White City or Shepherd's Bush every other week. That's just not.
Oh, Loftus Road is the worst grounds. It's so bad.
I didn't go last time. I'm not going to go this time.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it is complex, like relocating however many season ticket holders there
no,
are.
The problem is,
Riverside, wherever.
Your problem there is then, you know, you should then make the rest of the ground who are going to get season tickets, get them to buy the season tickets early so you know what seats
exactly,
are then available for the Riversiders.
Exactly.
You know, my dad who sits in the Riverside with his sister hasn't got a clue where he's even going to be next year.
Yeah, but, and again, this is kind of... I guess playing on football fans' loyalty.
They can't put them in the Putney end because there is an issue.
That's full of Liverpool fans, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's an issue with the Putney end where you can't make it a home section because of the way the turnstiles work and you can't separate it from being a home and an away section.
Yeah.
That's why we can't call it a home end. And, you know, then do you move them to Putney end and then somehow then you can't move the away fans into the Rivers, Johnny Haynes stand, sorry, because then. You know, you've got season ticket holders there. So they just made a complete mess of it. And I thought the likes of Ali Mack and Tony Khan would use their brains a bit more and have a bit more planning involved.
Yeah, and it's not like we're the first club to have to play for a couple of years with three stands. Like, loads of clubs have done this before.
When we beat Bristol away 4-2, they had three stands.
Yeah, I know. And I know. Oh, yeah, it's a mad one. I bet it's going to be cancelled. I've always had this feeling that unforeseen circumstances are going to pop up and they're going to postpone the development. Well, especially now we've been relegated.
It's this development has been supposed to happen for like the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and...
Now we thought we're finally going to get there and nothing.
And we're not even in the Premier League next year as well. And we'll hold ticket prices debacle. We weren't even selling out this year in the Premier League. Like, they've got the whole ticketing thing... Matchday ticket prices wrong, as we know and have discussed at length, and they've got the season ticket prices wrong. Like, what is going on in that kind of strategy? It's poor.
Does this kind of situation make you less likely to renew your season ticket?
No, and that's the thing. Like,
you're at their mercy.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, football fans
aren't customers, because if you're a customer and you don't like a company, you can leave. You can't do that unless I go to Sport 2 in the Mitcham.
But even so, like, there is one thing that some fans are going to lose out because, another reply on this kind of cryptic tweet that Fulham sent out today was, let us know, we plan our finances around this kind of thing. Like, people...
Yeah, actually, if they could leave it until, like, July so we can get Nations League out of the way first, get that out of the way, and then we'll buy it in July. But no, it is, like, people, you know, we expect our early bird renewal thing to be the end of April, beginning of May. People set the money aside
exactly.
For that particular time, and then if they're moving it, it completely changes.
Yeah, and, again, it's poor. It really is poor.
Is there a solution?
The club can... What? Pull their hand out, basically.
Right. Well, you heard it here first. Coming up on the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, Sessegnon has been a fantastic servant for the club, but is he off to Tottenham? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And if you've just joined us for our coverage, which is also, of course, discussing the Championship playoff semi-final between Leeds and Derby, Frank Lampard has just brought Ashley Cole on. No, he wasn't looking for electric pace down the left-hand side. There's been another red card, hasn't there, Guy?
Yeah. And
Fulham legend.
As we see the free kick, that was terrible from Izzy Brown. Scott Malone... take him on for the team. It had to be done. No, it didn't. He miscontrolled it in the edge of the box and hacked someone down. Surprise, surprise. Where have we seen that?
Possibly the most Scott Malone thing I think I've ever seen. If they get a terrible touch, lose the ball, and then foul someone.
And then mail to the ref, I got the ball. No, you didn't, Scott.
God loves a try. It's, of course, looking even better for Derby, though, because both sides down to 10 men. Leeds, of course, already had Berardi to Smith. There's a minute to play. Derby 4-2 up on the night at Elland Road, 4-3 on aggregate. It's looking like Frank Lampard's Derby will be in that playoff final at Wembley, where Aston Villa will be their opponents. Staggering, staggering stuff.
Yeah. What was that stat about red cards you just mentioned,
Dom? I think in the
Dom?
10 playoff semis there have been so far in the EFL, there's been 7 red cards.
It's mad. Like, what happened? Because obviously...
Just Skype it. It's the only way to describe it.
But obviously, Dennis Odoi got sent off the playoff final last year for us as well. And it's mad to think that... How long did we hold out for? Like,
is there
a
question of passion, though, straightforwardly? And I know it's a cliche, but these games are not just an opportunity for the players to win silverware. They're massively significant in terms of the financial aspect for the clubs. The players know that. The players will be made immensely aware of the significance of the match by their managers. Tensions are running high, passions are running high, tempers will flare up as well. Do you think there's an element of that? Because it's not like we see red cards for every team every week in normal championship fixtures.
Yeah, but I think it is just a question of temperament, as we spoke about. You know, the better players can handle these big situations, as we seen in the Champions League last week. I know perhaps Spurs over the past few years might have had a tendency for losing their heads a little bit. They famously lost their heads at the Chelsea away game when Leicester won the league. So they've got it in them. But apart from that, like, you don't see it that often at the top level, do you? You know? Like, you don't see it where you have a complete mental capitulation and where people have just ruined their team's chances. I mean, what Berardi's done here, I know, like, he wasn't at fault for any of the goals or anything like that, but it is a team game. And what he's done is he's put his team under immense pressure, and ultimately, you could argue, what he's done has changed the course of the game.
What are Leeds doing with the ball?
They're playing out from the back.
They're playing out from the back. There are 30 seconds to play. They're 30 seconds over the limit. They got a throw-in by their own goal, and they just, the centre-halves, decided to play ping-pong for 20 seconds. They are now up in the Derby third. If they can get a goal here, it will be...
Keeper's got it.
And you'd have thought that with it, that's it. That's full-time. Derby have done it. Leeds...
I just realised Scott Malone's out for the final.
That, of course, is the biggest story. Leeds are out of the Championship playoffs. Oh, they're not. We were seeing a jubilant Frank Lampard, but he's jumped... Okay. Now, Frank, you tease. Now, Derby have done it. They're in that playoff final where Aston Villa will be their opponent. Gents, are you sticking with Aston Villa for your picks for promotion?
I'm going to go with Derby just because I don't want to go with Pride Park or whatever it's called now next season. But then I don't know. I don't know what I can deal with. I don't know what I want more. You know, Lampard to not go up or see Grealish cry again.
And there's the element of Terry going up with Villa, of course.
Oh, yeah, it's a very hard choice, this. But it's actually just hilarious. Can we think of how much Leeds have bottled it this season?
Yeah. And does Bielsa now go?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course he will.
Do you think he only ever signed up for 1 year?
No, I think he signed up to get him out of the Championship and he's failed.
Yeah, but did he sign up to do that in 1 year?
I would have thought so. That's his style, isn't it? He never sticks around anywhere for too long.
Yeah,
does
he's not exactly a project type manager. If you especially look at his time at Lille, that just was absolute chaos. So I don't know. I think that Leeds, it's going to be Leeds. I do think it's a mentality or a mental thing for Leeds that they just can't get promoted. It's just something in their psyche. But then it's also like Derby are sort of like that as well. So it's like it was just three bottlers between them, Villa and Derby, so you could actually get promoted this season. So,
well, someone's got to manage it. We will, of course, be here with you for that final on Love Sport Radio, letting you know who that is. And the football's been so exciting, gents, that we keep getting derailed from Fulham. I'm going to bring it back to the question of Ryan Sessegnon. Now, earlier in the show, one of you, in the form of Dom Bett, and of course Fulham's all-time leading goalscorer, Gordon Davies, were quite confident that Alexander Mitrovic would be staying with the club in the Championship. Of course, another of Fulham's stars when they were last in the second tier was Ryan Sessegnon. And it's looking like him to Tottenham is a done deal. Is that as you see it? And are you sad to see him go if that is the case?
I think, like, as a fan, I'm not bothered if we let him go on a free next summer, because that money really doesn't affect me in any way whatsoever. You know, I don't see this money. But for, I think from the club and a financial sort of perspective, they kind of have to sell in this summer, because I don't think you can, when you can get 25 mil, probably, I think that's what the fee
is. Do you think it'll only be that?
I think that's what's being touted in the media, that it's a £25 million deal. I mean, he's only got a year left on his contract. He didn't exactly...
Leeds fans are crying on the telly.
Oh, this is what we all watch TV for. Beautiful, the beautiful game at its very best.
Children crying, which of course should never be applauded. Don Betts, please continue.
No, I do think though that Cesc is off. I do feel Spurs probably the best option with him within England. You know, I would have liked him to maybe go abroad, but there's no abroad who's going to, only teams abroad who are going to take the punt on him this summer if they were going to go for him, if we keep him and then they can talk to him from January onwards. So I think if you look at Poch's reputation of what he's done with young English players, and he hopefully could do the same with Ryan Sessegnon. It just depends where he's going to play. I can't really see him playing in behind Harry Kane. I do feel like the left wing back role is where he would fit in.
Do you think he's going to start? Because when we saw Dele Alli go to Spurs, of course Alli hadn't played Premier League football, but it was a similar situation with a highly rated young English talent. No one really expected him to slot straight into that team, but they had a lot of faith in him. He went straight in and he impressed immediately. Could Sessegnon surprise us? Could we see a sort of three of Sessegnon, Kane and Son?
I don't think Sessegnon's good to start for a Champions League team just yet. Ahead of, for example, Lucas Moura, for example, or Dele Alli or Eriksen. Assuming those players stay at Spurs, of course. I think we'd probably more see him, maybe, you know, Spurs occasionally play that five at the back, don't they? And I think we might see him in more of a Danny Rose kind of role.
Do you think he's wasted there? Because that was, of course, where he started. But where he really excelled for Fulham was goal scoring last year.
I do think if they're playing him in a wing-back role, I feel like in a Spurs side and Pochettino nails it into him what he needs to do, I think that's where his best position could actually be.
Yeah, I agree.
Because his best position is actually popping up late and getting the goals. It's not... Or being in the right place at the right time. He's a very instinctive player. And so I think that... I think he can excel at Spurs. It just depends, you know. But then if Pochettino's leaving, which he's jokingly said he might do if they win the Champions League, and you know somehow he could even end up at United if he decides to sack Solskjaer, or if he has done terrible since he got the permanent job, then you never know. But yeah, I do think it is. From what I saw of the sort of players walking around the end of the game, I do think Sessegnon's off. He does say he wants to stay in London, so I think Spurs is really the only option for him. But yeah, I don't think it'll be too much just because there's only 1 year left on his contract. So I do only think it would be only £25-30 million.
And what have you made of him in his debut Premier League season? Do you think he's good enough for a team like Tottenham?
I do. I think if you look at, he turns 19 this month. You know, he's not exactly an experienced player. You know, if you look at players under 21 in Europe, he's got the most assists after Jadon Sancho.
And, I mean, he's not experienced in terms of age, but in terms of appearance, he is. Like, everyone always goes on about De Ligt at Ajax, who's captain of a Champions League club, so it's a little bit different. But he's also 19, and he's also played over 100 times for Ajax. And Sessegnon has played over 100, you know, games, 100 professional league games at the age of 19, which is pretty exceptional, really. And something that is going to make him stand out as a project. And I think another stat that you mentioned there, as well as the assists one, is a chances created one. Like, he put it on a plate for Mitrovic several times this year.
Did it at Wolves?
Yeah, exactly. And Mitrovic didn't bury it. I think he's got so much going for him in his game. You know, his like ability to be in the right place at the right time is just incredible. And I'm obviously sad to see him go, but. I can't.
Also, his celebration etiquette is well class.
Yes, I can't.
He's always there to jump on the goal scorer.
Exactly. I can't wait to see what his career brings, to be honest, as an England fan as well. Like, it's a good time for him to move in that sense as well. If he can move to a big club, and he might even get in the Euro squad next year. You never know.
Could be a really, really big career for him. If you're just joining us here on the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, Derby are in the playoff final. They made short work of Leeds at Elland Road. They won 4-2 on the day, 4-3 on aggregate. A red card apiece for each side, but it's Frank Lampard's derby who'll be taking on Aston Villa at Wembley. And coming up, we've heard good things from Ryan Sessegnon, but which other Fulham players come out of this first season in the Premier League, this relegation season in the Premier League, with some credit, some pride.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Guy Barlow and Dom Bett of Fulhamish. Gents, we were hearing good things just a moment ago about Ryan Sessegnon. We've talked, of course, about Aleksandar Mitrovic earlier in the show. But which other Fulham players come out of this relegation season with a bit of pride and with their heads held high?
I do think Callum Chambers, but the funniest thing is I still think Callum Chambers has put in the worst Fulham performance I've seen this season.
Away
at Cardiff, when we decided, decided to play four centre-backs, which is always going to be a great idea. I don't see what could possibly go wrong there.
No. It's interesting, but he also had a shocker at home playing centre-back
I do think he's one of the few players, if you're looking at our summer signings, who comes out of the season with some credit this year.
Yeah, definitely. Whether that gets him a move somewhere, because, I mean, you don't fancy him getting back in at Arsenal, do you? Like, I'm not sure he's part of Emery's plans.
But it gets him a move somewhere, doesn't it? I mean, I agree with you that I don't think he slots into that Arsenal midfield. I don't think we really even look at him as a defender anymore. But he's a Premier League footballer.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's sad he's got two relegations on his CV already.
Do you think managers look at that?
That's a good question, actually. I haven't really thought about it. I think maybe for him personally, it's probably a bit tough.
It'll bother him, but I'm interested as to the extent to which a relegation can be seen to be the fault of one player. Because if you have a few, it isn't a coincidence, you'd have thought. But equally, it takes a whole squad to go down.
Well, he was part of that terrible Borough team. Who scored like 16 goals or something. And as far as I remember, he didn't play that often in that season. Whereas this year, he played almost every single game. And I guess he was a part of a relegation side. But he is still young as well. He's not it's not like he's a jobbing like 30-year-old pro like with like four relegations on his CV. He's still young and English. He's got that going for him. And he still plays for a top club, like, who can command a fee for him, I reckon. I don't think he's going to, like, cling on to an Arsenal career like Carl Jenkinson, for example.
I was about to say.
I think he'll probably move on again. But, I'm it's one of those weird seasons. Yes, we've had a bad year on the pitch. It's been awful. But, again, I wish him all the best.
If we're looking at other players come out to credit, obviously, you look at Ryan Babel, who came in January, and he's got more goal contributions than half a Spurs side this season. I think he's got more than Dele Alli. I know they're different players, but that just says what he's done since January. I know, but he's probably played the same amount of games as Dele Alli this season, considering how long he's been out of injury. But yeah, he comes out of some credit. Obviously, you look at Mitrovic, you look at Sessegnon. I'm not sure if Kearney does.
No, I was looking at his stats, actually. He's got, he's got one goal and one assist in over 30 games. It's not
perfect.
It's not great for an attacking midfielder. And one of those and his only goal was when we were already relegated. Yes, it was a winner, but still, it's not great. And
I think he's actually got a point to prove next year.
In the Championship?
Yeah. As in, just he didn't perform in the Premier League this year, but if he's back to his normal Championship best next season, I'm sure all will be forgotten.
I think for those 2 years in a row, I know we've got rose tinted glasses on because he played for our club. But I do think for those 2 years, that playoff unsuccessful year and then the playoff successful year, he was the best player in the Championship. Even though...
If you're looking at the 2 years as a whole, I think, definitely. And I do think there's... If we're looking at other players this season, I think Rico probably just about does.
Yeah.
I think he saved us more times than he let us down.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to keep an eye on his career in general, like where it pans out. Because there's no future for him at Sevilla. There's no future for him at Fulham, which can't afford him. And also we've got Marcus Bentley coming back. It's interesting, just a quick side note, that Paul Warne of Rotherham manager said that we're not going to loan back Rodak to Rotherham next year.
No, I believe he'll be our second choice, or not even the second choice, a player to fight Bettinelli for, because he was very good for Rotherham this year in a poor Rotherham team, nearly stayed up. And yeah, him and Bettinelli are going to be fine out for number one jersey. He's done his loan spells. I think it's now as he's coming into his own, he's got the experience in the Championship. So I think he will be fighting Bettinelli for the number one jersey next season. I do think those two will be our main keepers, with probably someone like Magnus Norman hanging in around the under-23s as a third backup.
Yeah, in terms of anyone else who's come away with any credit, I mean, Surrey hasn't necessarily come away with credit, but he's done
he's not come away with any credit.
No, but he's going to get himself another move. Like, it's not as if he's damaged his reputation so badly he can't even leave Fulham.
He's damaged it to an extent, hasn't he? In the sense that when Fulham did get Surrey, he had been linked with Chelsea, with Barcelona, with Arsenal. It was seen as a real coup that you got him.
I think his reputation is why people are seeing him more of a failure than he actually is. I mean, if you just analyse his season without taking into what his reputation was and just seeing if you're looking at the signing, I think, you know, he wasn't horrendous and he wasn't amazing. I think, you know, I think the reputation with the links he had before is the reason why people are giving him so much slack.
What sort or stick, as the case may be, they're not giving him enough slack.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
No, giving him a slack means they're letting him off. They're not letting him off.
Do you think
they are going easy on him?
I think in times he started off really well, but then he petered off pretty much after Brighton. I mean, Brighton away in September.
So what kind of move is he going to get then? Are we looking at mid-table Liga?
Monaco are mid-table Liga.
They're not even mid-table; they're bottom of the table Liga. So I think that's what we'll get. And you know, you don't really need to be that good in Liga. So
what about Zambo Anguissa? Because beyond having a brilliant name, he's someone who you particularly, Guy, have talked about quite positively ahead of that Championship season, if he's still around. Do you think he's come out with his head held high?
I think it's an interesting one, because when he first started under Slav, like, there were glimpses of a player in there, I guess. He couldn't really just slot in and take over K-Mac's role, which is, I think, was what Slav probably wanted him to do, which was just become that anchor in midfield.
But that isn't where he played at Marseille, so I don't see why he would have just slotted in there.
Yeah, but I think that's maybe what Slav expected and what Fulham fans expected, having not watched a lot of Marseille last year.
If that's what Slav expected, given Slav was in charge when Fulham signed him, are there questions to be asked there about Fulham's recruiting department? Because you would hope that a club would be aware of a player's best position and the actual kind of role they play, rather than just, he plays for Nice are good, and everyone says he's important.
Yeah, of course. You could argue, particularly with Anguissa, given we signed him on the final of the transfer deadline for, I think, a fee rising to 30 million. It's not an initial 30 million. But he is our record signing, technically. I think, overall, he's played a lot better in the last 10 games of the season, which is why I was particularly encouraged about him sticking around.
Because Anguissa was good at Marseille as well, wasn't he?
I think, but you say that, but then Marseille were happy for us to have him. Mm. Like, their fans are like, yes, for that money, please take him off your hands.
if you look at Anguissa for next season, right, I still would rather have Johansson in the side than him.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I just think in Championship you need players you know the league, and that's what Johansson knows.
And he has, of course, renewed his deal. Do you think he's going to be an important part of that side next year?
He'll definitely be part of the squads. It was interesting watching him last night, actually, kind of playing a different role.
If you look at him, in the Fulham's last season in the Championship, he's got near enough 20 goals.
Yeah, it's insane.
And for a defensive midfield player.
Yeah, well, he's playing a defensive midfield player last night in that West Brom we spoke about, that very, you know, pragmatic West Brom team, and he was like man-marking Grealish all night, and then he had to go off injured, which was probably quite crucial. But for us, he played a totally different role, didn't he?
Yeah, he's more of a box-to-box.
Yeah, so like...
Norwegian Yaya Toure.
It is good to have that kind of versatility. Johansson was one of those players, though, who his bad form was overshadowed by the fact that he scored a lot. Like, he did have some terrible games, some really poor games, and then pop up with a goal and it looks like he's played well. But either way, I think it's great to have him in the squad first, and it is important to know that a club triggered the option in his contract, not him. So maybe that's a different situation as well.
Do you think we could now have an argument where he's thinking, well, I had a good time at West Brom and I don't necessarily fancy going back to Fulham?
There is that, but I also think that that triggered extension is also a safeguard for the club, because otherwise he would have left on a free in the summer. His contract was expiring next month.
So it's a case of protecting an asset. Of course, some may be safe. Gordon Davies earlier on the show was saying Mitrovic will be staying, sounding like Sessegnon is on his way. But either way, Parker is at the wheel and Fulham should be optimistic for a season in the Championship ahead. A Championship season, of course, which will feature Leeds. Join us next week on the Fulham Fan Show.
Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.